Okay, let's pray and we'll jump right in this. Father, y'all, we glorify you as always, and we just look forward to just experiencing the things that you have said in your word, and we just bless you for it. We thank you for the wisdom that you've given us to understand the times that we live in, and we don't operate in fear. We're excited about it, and we just bless you for your perfect and divine will coming to pass. And we glorify you for all the things that you do. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Alrighty. As y'all well know, it's just so many things that's going on here these past few days. You know, especially since we've come into the new year, and all of these things are right on course concerning what Yah has said in his word. And what has been amazing to me is there are a lot of people who pay attention to, you know, to things that that we discuss. You know, I'm talking about us as a ministry, because anything I do, I represent the, you know, you guys. And so although I may be the vessel by which Yah is doing it, we are doing it, you know, and I want that to be, you know, understood. That's just how my mindset works. So, you know, so matter of fact, there are some brethren. When I say brethren, I'm talking about as members of our nation. I've been dealing with them quite a bit, and I'm just using this for an example to give you understand what I'm talking about. And I've been dealing with them quite a bit, and so they're kind of you know, reaching out to me on a large scale there. And there are thousands, I kid you not, there are thousands of people that migrate to my Facebook page, that, you know, they contact me one way or another throughout the day. And so it's like as this thing is progressing, more and more people are asking me questions. They're texting me things. They're inboxing me things, you know, on Facebook. You know, it's just a lot of dialogue that's going on. And it goes back to what we discussed this, what I had wrote on January 1st, 2020. I was sitting there, never forget it, I was sitting there in my office. You know, because normally when I write, it's most of the time it's early in the morning. He just kind of deal with me early in the morning and you know, in prayer and dialogue and things like that. And he'll lead me to write. And most of the time when I write, it's like it's spontaneous. So I know it's the Spirit of Yah coming upon me, because when I finish, I don't have enough sense to know what I wrote, you know, and come up with the information. So people ask me, like, how do you even get this information? Well, I don't have a clue a lot of times, you know. Sometimes y'all just guide me into things. Sometimes elders share some things with me and stuff like that. But everything is coinciding with what Yah is doing, you know. And so, you know, so that's what's going on with these things and stuff. And so, again, when I write, it is, best way to explain it, it's inspired. It's the old day prophet stuff. You know, it's not that, and I was laughing because when y'all had me to do this, I said, okay, this is going to come across as strange to the so-called body of Christ. Because if y'all know, if y'all have ever been a part of any ministry before, you know, you connected to United Ministry, or even I think about myself before I started United Ministries, every time I was at a New Year's Eve service, it was always some type of catchphrase. You know, 1999 is the year everything gonna be on time. It's always something, you know. It's always some kind of catchphrase that, you know, that kind of rhymed, or it was always, you know, good information that made everybody was like, woo, it's like, here's a New Year's resolution for everybody, for the church this year. And everybody latched on to whatever was said before midnight. You know, the message before midnight, and come midnight, everybody, you know, Happy New Year kind of thing. And so, you know, I'm sitting there and Yah says, and he waited afterwards, you know, because like I said, normally he deal with me in the morning, but he waited and made sure all these prophecies, so-called, had been given a few hours before in reference to what he was going to do for 2020, you know, 2020 and what he said to me beyond. And so, so I'm sitting there again, minding my own business, and the Spirit of Yah come up on me. And when he came up on me, he said, write. And that's a lot of time when he say to me, when I start write, I wake up. As soon as I wake up, he'll speak to me and say, write. And all the information just start coming. The thoughts will start coming, and I'll sit there and just start putting it together. Yahshua, behave. And so so he said to me, he said, write. But this time, what he said, when he said it to me, I was like, okay, because normally when he said write, it's like he's giving me information. This time it was different. When he said write, he said, and whatever you write, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And now I'm scared to write because I'm like, okay, I can't be playing with this, you know, because whatever I write, he's going to do. And I got to be very careful about what I said. So immediately, I was like, okay, y'all, but I can't write. You know, I can't write what you don't give me. He didn't say anything else. He said, write. And what you write is what I'm going to do. And so I sit there, man, and as I sit there, you know, the reason why he did me that way was because he was going to give it to me, but at the same time, I had to step in that arena of faith. Because normally he give me information to write, but this time he said, write. I'm establishing something in you. And when you decree a thing, it's going to be exactly the way you decree it. Like the old prophets. I hear this word. Let me see. I'm trying to confirm what I'm talking about here. Did I do it wrong? Yep, I did. First Samuel chapter 3, verse 19, it says, and Samuel grew. This is when Samuel had an encounter with Yah. And, you know, there was no word in the land. Yahshua, behave. There was no word in the land. Kind of like in the time frame that we're in now. Everybody giving words, but they're not coming from Yah. Thus all these catchphrases. You know, 2020 is the year, you know, some kind of rhyme or some kind of, you know, something. Year plenty. Yeah, year plenty. Year breakthrough. This is your year where all your harvest coming in. You know, you know, turn around three times and run and hit the back of the building and run back up and turn a flip. And when you hit the ground, all your blessings going to fall down right where your feet landed. All this kind of stuff. No word in the land. So that situation, it was similar to a certain perspective where Yah said, I'm going to put it there and what you decree, I'm not giving you nothing. But verse 19 says, and Samuel grew. Now, when you look at the word grew, it means his mind, his estate, his honor. I had told you, like a few days before that, I can't remember if it was during the same time. Oh, it was during the same time. After I wrote it, I think, yeah, after I wrote it, that's when he said it. But Yah is doing this here where there is a growth spurt that took place on that day where Yah was saying, I'm finna get some honor, but through you. Now, when I said me, guess what I'm talking about? Remember how I said earlier? Yah, so I'm finna get some honor. And I'm sitting on the stage. You remember I text you? I said, Yah's sitting up here on the stage where he's showing himself You know, he's showing that there's a prophet in the land, a prophet and king. That's what I said, I think. And so from that perspective, y'all was like, that's growth or honor, whereby I'm going to establish you amongst believers as well as non-believers that I have a prophet in the earth. Now think about this. Christian folks may believe in a preacher, but folks in the world will be like, oh man, ain't nobody old crooked preacher. Ain't nobody think about preacher. Y'all said, I'm going to establish in the earth because that's how he deal with the old prophet. That's how he deal with Samuel. When Samuel showed up, even the heathens paid attention. When Elijah showed up, even the heathens was like, oh, wait a minute. And that's what has taken place over generations, is that there have been people who have raised up, but the hand of Yah wasn't on them to the point to where Yah was like, I'm not going to let nothing you say hit the ground. And I can go back years, even when the ministry first started, before the ministry started, certain things that Yah would lead me to say, I would say it and they come to pass. It's not letting the words hit the ground. So that's that honor, that estate, that increase that you see here. Okay? And so it says, and Samuel grew. He was honored. He grew in his stature in Yah. And Yah was with him and did not let none of his words fall to the ground. And when you look at the fall to the ground, obviously it means ceased, to die out, to perish, overthrow. When he said it, it wasn't going to be overthrown. And obviously we know the ground as what it being what it is, the earth itself. And so Yah was saying on that day, what you decree is what I'm going to do. I'm not going to let it fall to the ground. It is not going to decease. It's not going to die out. I'm going to do exactly what you say. So when I wrote it, I talked about the times of trouble. I talked about the beginning, but I talked about things changing and never being the same again. The next day, Yah did it. And the way that he did it, it set the stage where it made people say, wait a minute, this boy just ain't crazy. Because it's one thing when people can't perceive that Yah is using us. They'll call us crazy, or, oh man, don't pay no attention to them and things like that. You know, they this or they that. But when Yah start confirming the words of his people, folks start being careful then. And that's what has taken place here. And so from these things, stop. So from these things taking place, we're going to experience this more and more. These things are happening more and more. And so I just wanted to show you that's in the scripture. It's what Yah is doing. It's what he's doing in these last days when he's establishing. He's establishing himself in the earth through his prophets. He's doing it. And so, again, now all these questions are being asked because people are starting to see, okay, how are you coming up with this information? How is all this, you know, one lady said on Facebook, she was like, this is very deep. She's like, this is very deep. She said, but then she said, we're being used as pawns. You know, she's a descendant of Japheth. So not only are our people paying attention, but all people are paying attention to what Yah is doing. And I kid you not when I say this, there are thousands of people that migrate to that page every day. Because they know there's information. They know something is happening that is not natural or normal. What is the norm that comes from a preacher? Yah is speaking his words through what we are doing, and is causing people to fear. Now that fear is twofold. It's causing people to be afraid, and at the same time, it's causing people to reverence what's taking place. So they're starting to pay attention. I got a phone call on yesterday. Individual said, "Okay, so when y'all gonna get the building open?" They don't even live here in Dallas. When y'all gonna get the building open? Well, we're working on it. Well, as soon as you get it open, let me know because we'll be driving back and forth. You know, just things like that. And so people are starting to pay attention. And I wanted to share that so that, you know, you can be encouraged to understand that you are sitting, experiencing something that is rare in the earth. You're sitting among that, and don't take it for granted. You know, don't take it for granted. I'm dumbfounded every time Yah does something now. He's doing some wonderful things. So I, you know, said all that to say this. Now, there are other prophecies. There are other prophecies that are falling into place. Now, when you look at the things that's going on, I think a lot of people, I don't know if you've heard about it, but there's an earthquake that has hit Iran. Y'all know about it? Earthquake? Yeah, earthquake hit Iran while they were warned last night or whatever. I say within 24 to 48 hours, whatever, earthquake has hit Iran. So when Iran hit the United States bases, United States bases, I don't know, then all of a sudden earthquake hit Iran and a plane crashed in Iran that had people in there from, I think, was it Canada and I can't think of the other country, killed 176 people. And so we have to understand what's going on. Now, I'm being very careful about the plane, because the plane can be either or. And so I'll talk from a perspective of what I would do if I was at war, me being a person who has a warlike mind, based upon what I've been called to do in my position. If I was a wicked person like these people that are warring, if I operated in wickedness, then I possibly would bring a plane down to make another country stop, because it gives the impression that since you're attacking, then you the reason why that plane fell. So my mindset would be, in order to save my people, I'd take out that one plane. And now it brings in other nations, because I brought down something that was going out, and it gives the impression like, since you was attacking me, you might have hit that. That's how my mind would work if I was Iran's leader. Okay? And I would do it. That's why I know when that day comes, there's some things that I'm going to carry out by all means necessary. Y'all is giving me the character to do it. And so that's what I would do if I was Iran's leader. I said, I know how to make them stop. I'm going to bring down this plane and put them in a position now where other nations are asking questions, say, well, did they do that like they did to this man? That's how my mind worked. On the other hand, you know, if I was United States, you know, it may would be something that I would do to cause more damage, but at the same time, it makes more sense for the other end to do something like that. So you just never know how they took place. So you're looking at two wickedness to a certain perspective, and you have to understand that both sides has the potential to be cruel. And so both sides are unpredictable. So there's no telling what they'll do. So I just wanted to show the other side. Somebody is not innocent. We just don't know who, unless y'all reveal. And so I just threw that other side out there just to kind of make people see that, wait a minute, before you said it, United States did it. If I was Iran's leader, I'd do it. So, but again, that's my mindset. And so when you look at these things that's going on, prophecies are being fulfilled. I put some things on Facebook. As a matter of fact, Elder sent it to me. And now you sent it to me sitting here and went over it. And then, you know, y'all came for me to write something, include that in there, and then at the same time add two other videos in that to make everything coincide. And what we have to understand is is that dealing with that country is a very dangerous thing, because it pulls a lot of nations, it put a lot of other nations at risk. And so the way I describe it to my girls is like this. I was like, okay, between our next door neighbor, on the other side of our next door neighbor is an individual who is an enemy. And that individual who is an enemy has made it clear that he wants to destroy me. And he wants to destroy my whole household. So with this individual that is next door to my next door neighbor, so my next door neighbor's house is between this enemy and I. So this enemy now all of a sudden it comes into his mind that he want to take out my next door neighbor. Now he starts to take out my next door neighbor. Now common sense would tell me to help my next door neighbor, because if I don't, now I'm a sitting duck, because now he got his house as well as my neighbor's house to attack me. And I don't know, I could be just walking past my window, he just right that next door. So if my neighbor's being attacked, then I'm going to make sure I get in there with my neighbor to keep my enemy from hurting the both of us. Because he's just a matter of time, from taking out my neighbor, he's going to come after me. That's what's happening when it comes down to Iran. Iran has connection with so many other nations that if they fall, then it puts that whole region, as well as Europe and other places, at risk. And because it put them at risk, they have no choice but to make sure certain things don't take place. And so you have to understand that Yah is putting hooks in the jaws of these mouths, and he's drawing them in to bring about his divine will. That's what's going on. And so there are some things that has to take place in order for what we understand as far as the scripture is concerned, for that beast to rise and cause all this great and small to worship. There's some things that have to take place. So there's some things that have to take place. And so these things are vitally important for us to understand. But there's another thing that's going on. And y'all just kind of reminded me of it today. We've discussed it. But, you know, I just kind of wasn't thinking about it at the time, because you got so much stuff going on. And also, this is in reference to also to our project. That's why I want to encourage you about it, that we continue on and finish it. If y'all remember, and I'll just go there. Well, yeah, I'll pull up another scripture, because I'm going to come back to Psalms. Now, as we look at this, this is another prophecy that is being fulfilled during this same time frame. So everything is coming to a head. Okay? Now, Acts chapter 7 is to the right of the screen here. And I'm going to keep up Psalms 30, because, you know, I just want to jump over there after we finish. I guess I could. Yes, I can leave. Okay, Acts 7 says verse 1 says, "Then said the high priest, are these things so? And he said, Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The glory of Yah appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran," or Canaan. It's Canaan, okay? I mean, it's Haran, but he's going to dwell in Canaan. So in Haran, it says, "And said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into a place which I shall show thee. And then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, he removed into this land wherein ye now dwell." So that land is Canaan, okay? It's Canaan, but at the same time, it's Jerusalem. So when you look at it according to I'm gonna just use this one since I got it open. So when you look at Acts Genesis 12, this is what he's referring to in Acts 7. And now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country. Same thing. Get thee out of thy country. So he's talking about this event here, Genesis 12. He said, make of him a great nation. But I want to get to verse 4. It said, Abram departed as Yah had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. It just spells it different here. Okay? Just spells it different here, but it's the same place. And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go to the land of Canaan. Now, when you look at Canaan here, that's why, as you look at verse 4, on this side it says, wherein ye now dwell, or into the land wherein ye now dwell. That's Canaan. So it's Jerusalem, but Jerusalem is Canaan. Now, today they call it the Middle East. They call it the Middle East because they want to deceive people to not understanding where the land of Jerusalem really is, or the land of Israel really is. The land of Israel is in Canaan. Now, in order to understand where Canaan is, I'm going to pull up another Bible. In order to understand where Canaan is, we have to, we'll go to Genesis chapter 10. Okay. Genesis chapter 10. We'll look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, and the sons of Ham. Who is Ham? Ham is the father of your I don't want to say African, because that's what get people mixed up, because all these people were in Africa at the time, or what is modern day Africa at the time, they're in what's called modern day Africa. So all these people, even Japheth, your European Europeans descend from, who settled in Europe, they were in Africa, modern day Africa. Okay. And so, as you look at it here, it is showing Ham here, who is the father of your dark race nations, except for your Shem nation, and it's more than one. You know, you got Ishmael, you got Jacob, and you know, you Esau is a dark race nation, and so it has to be understood. So. But when you look at it here, it shows the land of Ham and where they settled. So all these brothers stayed in the same region. This is how you know this region is. So when you look at it says in the son of Ham, Cush, and as you look at these, I'm gonna exit out of I'm gonna just exit out of this here, and then I'm gonna come back. So it says, when you look at Cush, it says the territory of Ham, Ethiopia. See it at the bottom? So it's showing you that your Cushite people are mainly your Ethiopian people. Okay? Then as you look at it here, it says Cush, it says, I went down to 4. It says Cush, then it says Mizraim. So when you look at Mizraim, Mizraim is Egypt. Okay? Mizraim is Egypt. Then when you look at Foot, it says your Persian tribe. By the way, Iran is where the Persians are. Or where Japheth is pretending to be Persian. When you check the mixture of those people, they are a mixture of Mongol or Japheth. Japheth is in Iran, pretending to be Persian. your when you look at your Persian tribe, especially when you start looking at things from an ancient civilization thing, although you can go down and look at some other things that show there's a Persian connection too. But it just showed that you know, and you do have some Persians who are Japheth, you know, and so all. But I'm just showing you some things as far as what certain people were classified during the Bible time, and so when you look at again, you have Egypt, you have Foot, and you have Canaan here. Canaan here is the land of Ham. Canaan is close to Egypt. Because Canaan is the brother of Egypt, Mizraim. So if you know where Egypt is, then Canaan is next door to it. So when you look at the maps of Jerusalem, Jerusalem is next door to Egypt. That's why every time members of our nation was afraid, they would flee into Egypt. Okay, every time Israelites were afraid, they would flee into Egypt because they looked like those people. So your Israelites were, obviously they were us as a nation's people. And so when you look at that, this land here, Canaan, is in the region where your so-called today African nations. So Jerusalem, when you get over here in Acts 7, is Africa. It's Northeast Africa. Okay, so as you see it here, the children of Israel settled in Northeast Africa, Canaan. Yah gave them the land of Canaan, Northeast Africa. So all the land of Jerusalem, Samaria, all those places that's classified as as Israel territory is Canaan, is Northeast Africa. That's the ancient name, or at least one of them. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Babylon is also Canaan. It's called Iraq today. Okay? It's called Iraq today. Now, here's the interesting part about what's going on today. The American base sits on the ruins of Babylon. Y'all hear me? They built it on the ruins of Babylon. Ancient Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar's Babylon. Nimrod's Babylon. They built the base on the ruins. And so when you look at all these things that's going on, we know about Mystery Babylon, but at the same time, we know also in Revelation 18 where it says Babylon is falling and become basically a place where animals only dwell. There are a whole lot of things happening from the Mystery Babylon perspective, and then also the literal Babylon perspective. So we're seeing prophecies being fulfilled. Why all of a sudden they bombing the base? If you look at it from Yah's eyes, they're bombing Babylon. So as you see these things start to materialize more and more, it brings us back to this here. My grandson, I'll be trying to let him stay, but he just can't help it. He do it every time I'm on. Anytime I'm talking, he think I'm preaching, so he gonna talk. Now, as you look at it here, it's verse 4. It says, "Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from thence, when his father was dead, Terah, Abraham's father, he removed him into the land wherein ye now dwell. And he gave him none inheritance in it. And he gave him none inheritance in it, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, were as yet he had no child. Okay? So he had no inheritance in it. In other words, he had no seed in it. He had no family in it. But Yah said, I'm going to give it to you as a possession and to your seed, although he didn't have any children. And then verse 6, and it's confirmed in Genesis 15, I believe. And I just put it up here. And so when you look at, I believe it's 15. Yeah. Now, and so when you look at verse 6, it said, Yah spake on this wise that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage. Bondage is slavery. Okay? And then treat them evil 400 years. Okay, 400 years. And the nation to whom they shall be enslaved will I judge, said Yah. And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place. What place? Canaan. Okay? Now, this is when Yah actually said it here in Genesis 15, verse 13. And he said unto Abram, know for surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve, that's slavery. Look at the word serve, 13, abad. It says serve, to work, bondage, enslave, same word. See it here, third sentence, enslave, keep going, keep in bondage. So it's the same thing. It's saying the same thing in Acts 7. A stranger in the land that's not theirs shall be enslaved to them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards shall they come out with great substance. We've discussed this plenty of times. This is not Egypt. And we have to understand that Yah is very precise. Yah is not going to say 400 years and then people go to Exodus and see 430 years and they say that's it. No. Y'all not confused. Y'all not going to tell you he going to do something in 400 years and then turn around and do it in 430. If y'all say he's going to do it in 400 years, he's going to do it exactly the way that he said it. I'll show you proof. Jeremiah 25, verse 11. It says, and this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. What is it? Daniel 9? Is it 9? Oh, I'm in Deuteronomy. I clicked Deuteronomy. Daniel 9, I think. Yeah. In the first year of his reign, Darius, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood the books. The number of years whereof the word of Yah came to Jeremiah the prophet, Jeremiah. Okay, came to Jeremiah the prophet that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. And the whole land should be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Well, this is Darius, so they served Babylon for 70 years, and when Darius, he's a Mede. So when Darius now, or the Medo-Persia conquered Babylon, that 70-year time frame was up. Wasn't no 75. One no 74, it was 70 just like y'all said it. So when y'all said 400 years, he mean exactly what he said. And so we have to come to the conclusion, when was it at any time was the nation of Israel enslaved for 400 years straight? The only time you see a consistency from the perspective, we've been in slavery a lot of time, But there is no time frame where you can put a finger on and say 400 years. That's why they always try to say the time frame they left Egypt, because the closest thing they can get to 400 is 430. So they add them 30 years and then say, well, it was 30 years, and try to throw some little other catchphrase in there. Y'all, no, y'all said 70, he meant 70. He said 400, he meant 400. Now, I said that to say this. We're right in the middle of other prophecies being fulfilled. And this prophecy is this 400-year prophecy. We're living it. We're walking in the days of it. That prophecy is starting to be fulfilled. But what people can't understand is they don't read the words and interpret it exactly the way that Yah says it. Now, what I just showed you in Daniel chapter 9, the 70 year was up when Medo-Persia conquered Babylon, but it still was a lot of years before they came out of Babylon. What people make a mistake on in concerning prophecy is when the time frame ends, there are events that start taking place in order for that prophecy I'll say when the prophecy begin to come to pass, there are events that start to take place to lead it up to its final end. 70 years, the prophecy was fulfilled. Daniel prayed because he understood the books about the 70-year prophecy, that the time frame was up. It was time to come out of Babylon, but it was still years later before they came out. Now, this prophecy has been fulfilled or has begun from the perspective of the 400-year prophecy. That's ended. Now, what's going to happen as a result of it? Same thing. It's not saying we're coming out of here exactly at 400 years, but it's showing processes. And what we're experiencing now in these wars that's going on is part of that process. Now, as you look at it here, Acts 7 again, verse 6, and Yah spake on this wise, that his seed should sojourn, live, home, have a home in a strange land. And they should bring them into bondage, enslave, and entreat them 400 years, entreat them evil 400 years. And that nation whom they shall be in bondage will I judge. Judgment happening now. Yah said, I got to judge the nations first. You got to judge the nations first. Now, if you check history, Muslims enslaved us. We've been enslaved all over the world. Yah is judging nations. He's judging nations because he's fulfilling the prophecy of the 400 years and saying, when that time frame is fulfilled, I'm going to judge nations. And after I finish with them, then you come out. That's why when you look at it here again in Genesis 15. That's where people make the mistake. They think it's just happening. As soon as the 400 years hit, then time is up. We get to go. No, he said also, verse 14, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards, we're going to sit back and see, we're going to sit back and see Yah pronounce sentence on the enemies. I'm hearing myself preach on it. This is what you're experiencing. And now when you look at it, I'm going to ask you a question. Y'all may not know this, I'm just playing. Where were we scattered as a people?
Four corners.
Four corners. Good answer. Make the four corners clearer to somebody who don't understand what four corners are. What does it
all
mean?
Over the world.
All over the world. Question. Since we were scattered all over the world, and the world took advantage of that, who he's judging?
Yeah. the world. That's why all these nations got to come in. Every nation that has judged or enslaved the people of the Most High Yah, they got to come to battle. It's the judgment. They got to come. They have no choice. Nobody's going to be able to sit out of this thing, because Yah is saying my time frame to fulfill what I said concerning my people and concerning the one who enslaved my people must come to pass. And so I'm bringing about this one world order issue so I can deal with every nation who dealt with my people. See, here's the most wonderful thing about our enslavement. It always made us cry out to Yah. Oh, folks been crying. You know, we've been we shall overcome someday and marching and we've been protesting and Black Lives Matter. We've been doing all these different things. But we hadn't as a nation cried out to Yah yet. And Yah is creating an environment where we ain't gonna have no choice but to look up. It's a whole lot of folks looking up now. I got folks texting me and calling me saying, where we going? Tell me what we gotta do. Because they're saying, I don't have it figured out, but I've come to realize that there is a people who Yah is dealing with, they got it figured out. And now they're asking, what do we need to do and when do we need to do it? Nobody who put iron around the necks of an Israelite is going to get out of this. Nobody. We were scattered to the four corners. We were scattered all over the world. All over the world going to have to pay the piper. And Yah is the piper. This is what's going on. You look throughout our history. Yah would tear us up for our disobedience. But he never let the ones who enslaved us get away with it. He used them as a tool, and then he broke the tool once he got through with it. You can see it throughout history. He used Egypt as a tool, he broke it. Assyria as a tool, he broke it. Babylon as a tool, he broke it. Medo-Persia as a tool, he broke it. Greece as a tool, he broke it. Grecia as a tool, he broke it. Rome, we're in Rome now, using it as a tool, it's going to get broken. And that comes out of it, it's going to be broken. So these people have no choice. So when people get here, get to talking about, man, well, I wonder who going in the war. It was such and such time, and they not going to get involved. Everybody get involved. France going to get involved. You name them. All of them that has abused y'all's people, go get involved. They have no choice. So when y'all says here, and I'm going to exit out of here. Well, let me see. Yeah, I'll just stay right here. So when you look at verse 14, when you look at it, it says nation, it says foreign nation, it says Gentile. So when he said also that nation, Yah is pointing out that there is a specific group of people that's behind this. See, when we hear nation, we think America. When Yah said nation, he's talking about a people. Let me show you. Genesis 10. I exit out of this one. Genesis 10 says, now these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And unto them were sons born after the flood. The sons of Japheth, Gomer, Magog, Madai. Notice these are names that you see in the last days. Tubal, Meshach. You see these names here. Sons of Gomer, Ashkenaz, Jews. Togarmah is where a lot of them come from too. Okay. One, I'm trying to think. I think Togarmah had sons, and one of his sons was Hun.
So when you look at I think, what is it, Attila the Hun, if I'm saying that right? That Hun, the mongrels and all that, that's come from these people here. So when you look at these names here, it says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their land. It lets you know they all spoke the same language. When y'all confounded their language, that's why they all went to Europe. They couldn't understand the Hamite. They couldn't understand the Shemite. They could only understand their people, their brethren. And they all migrated off together. And y'all scattered the earth, split it. That's why you see continents that's not connected now. But when you look at it, you can see they did fit at one time. But y'all scattered the land through an earthquake to keep the folks over there, to keep us over here, and to keep them over there. It was three of them. There were three so-called continents, if you want to call it, Ham, Japheth, and Shem. Only three. Now you have, I don't know how many now. And so as you look at it here, it says, by these were the isles of the Gentiles, specifically they're Gentiles. So your Jewish people are Gentile. When you look at Iran is a mixture of these people. Iran is a mixture of them. They admit it. They're Gentiles. They call themselves Persians, though. Now, then it says, by these were the isles of Gentiles divided in their land, everyone after his language, so all of them had their language, after their families in their nations. When you look at these people, they are the nation of Japheth. Okay, and so as you look at all these nations and see what they have control over now, they got to come to battle. They have no choice. Yah is going to use, or is using, their own enlarge. Did y'all just hear what I said? What did I mean? Remember Genesis 9, verse 27? Yah shall enlarge Japheth. When you look at the word large, it means make roomy. Make him roomy from a mental or moral sense. They fighting over oil, land, control, enlarge. Yah said, I'm going to take their enlarged mind itself and I'm going to make them fight one another. But the root cause of it is because of what they did to my people. They dwelt in my people's land, and now the time of reckoning is at hand, and I'm going to pull them all into this thing to fight. They fighting one another, don't even want to know they kinfolks, close kinfolks. So that's what he's doing. And so these prophecies are being fulfilled, so we got to be ready. We got to continue on what Yah has called us to do. That's the reason why. That's the reason why he warned us in reference to our project, and he was like, you need to finish. You as in y'all. He's like, you need to finish. He had told us to finish it before 2020? Was it 2020? I can't remember now. All this stuff coming together. He was saying finish it, but he extended the time. But this is why he was telling us to finish it. And so Yah is like this. He will give us a command. And for any reason, we're not able to fully carry out, he has the liberty to extend the plan because of us. But at the same time, there are consequences for extending it. If we had it finished by now, there were events that happened that we couldn't control. So all of us coming together, working out for the good. But all of the events that's happening now is got us in a certain position whereby we're effective, but not as effective as what we would be if our facility was finished when this happened. That's why he had the urgency there, because he knew ahead of time this event was going to happen and people were going to flood the place. because they know what word is coming from. But a delay is not a denial. You know, we can go look at other times when our nation started building a temple. They had ups and downs. They had to stop and they did that. But at the same time, where that's what's going on, and so all these people are flooding. A flooding toward us for information, and right now we don't have no place to put them, so we got to stay focused, and we got to make sure that we stay committed to what we've been called to do. We're living in some very serious time. This is not an option of whether or not we should finish it. We got to finish it. We're you know, if a person thinking, well, somebody else can do it, no, we're it. Yah has chose the place where he want to put his name to do what he's doing. You know, so I just want to encourage you as far as that is concerned, let you know these prophecies are being fulfilled. It ain't going to calm down. It's going to further escalate. Well, Yah having it right in January 1st, 2020, that word is not going to fall to the ground. I say it's the beginning, and it's, things are never going to be the same again. It's going to be exactly what I said. So it may be a little quiet because, you know, what Iran basically said was, you know, United States did that, you know, to a person that's very important to us. And they, in their word, their own words, they was like, and we hit them in the mouth, so to speak. They said, we hit them in the mouth, but now, Iran is saying, that's all we're going to do. We're going to wait to see what you're going to do now. You started this, we hit you back, and we can end off of this. Or if you hit us, we're going to hit again. Well, when you got Japheth, whose mindset is enlarged, his pride is going to make him hit again. His pride ain't gonna let him leave that alone. Japheth's mindset is he want to be enlarged because this country is in a survival state, and if it doesn't pull off what it needs to do in order to possess, you know, certain things that they want to possess and control, you know, it's just going to continue to go in that direction so that these things can take place. So Yah's will is being done. And so we, be encouraged. You don't have to fear. Make sure you're hearing from Yah, and be where he leads you to be. This ain't a time to be just doing stuff spontaneous. Move with purpose now. Okay, move with purpose. It's not a time frame to just say I'm gonna do this and I'm gonna do that, move with purpose. I'm I've always made an effort to move with purpose, but specifically now, I gotta move with purpose, cause I don't want to end up in some area and this stuff continue to escalate, and we end up in a situation that we shouldn't be in because we're not hearing from Yah. Okay, so make sure you're being led. Be aware at all times. You know, pay attention to what's going on in your surroundings and all that. We live in a different world now. Okay. And yes, Yah can and will protect us, but we also got to be wise. All right? That's all I got. No questions? Comments? We good? Okay. Father Yah, we bless you, and we just thank you for revealing to us that everything that's happening in this world today is your divine will coming to pass. And that's what makes us excited. We know that the day is dawning. Oh, Yah told me to read this. I forgot. And I just read it. So as soon as I prayed, that's when you reminded me. It's Psalms 30 verse 5. It says, for his, that's Yah, for his anger endureth but for a moment. In his in his, yes, y'all again, in his favor is life. Stay in y'all's favor. There's always going to be life, okay? In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night. We as a nation, people been weeping for 400 years, at least, but for sure 400 years. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. We are entering into the dawn of the day. Morning is coming. Morning is close. And you have to be ready. I can't pound this in your head enough. You have to understand that everything is finna change as we know it. Don't be attached to your things. Don't be attached to your houses, your cars. Don't be attached to none of that stuff. This world is changing as we know it. You got to hear what I'm saying. And we live in a metroplex. Metroplex is a place that has a lot of people. So again, if I was that evil leader, oh, it'd be on my list. So I'm saying, be wise. We sit right in the heat, you know, here in the metroplex, and so you know, we have to be wise and things like that. But it's dawning up on the day, the morning, and we have to endure. A lot of folks, some bad things gonna happen to some we know, some we don't. But even in all of it, we got to endure and know that we're in this night, we're in this time frame of uncertainty, from perspective of what's going to happen from you know, day to day. But at the same time, we know there's morning coming for us. Okay, so I just wanted to read that part. Now again, any questions? We good? Okay, Father Yah, we just bless you again, and we just thank you that joy is coming in the morning. We look forward to the dawn of the day where we will see our blessed Mashiach return to gather his brethren and to place us back in our own homeland, the land of Canaan, whereby we'll be disciplined and have to walk under the rod of the covenant and be dealt with in the wilderness before we cross back over into our homeland. And we just bless you for that. In the name of Yahushua, we do pray. Amen.